Calling all my friends from all corners of the internet, I'm here to tell you about Sarah Bauer Boutique. In the virtual aisles of shopping Sarah Bauer Boutique, you are not just browsing through clothes, you're exploring a world of self-expression and self-love. You click, you browse, you discover the pieces that resonate with your unique vibe and individuality. My online boutique is more than just a website. It's a celebration of self-love. It's about feeling confident, radiant, and utterly comfortable in your own skin. Every outfit you find there is a reminder that you are worthy and beautiful, and you deserve to wrap yourself in it every single day. So grab your device, visit Sarah Bauer, B-A-U-E-R, boutique.com, and indulge in a joy of self-love through fashion. Let's redefine online shopping together, making it a delightful, powerful experience, because you deserve nothing but the best. Remember to give them a reason to stare from Sarah Bauer Boutique. Hello and welcome back to Loving Yourself Completely with me, your host, Sarah. I hope you're all having a wonderful week. It is, oh my gosh, we are 1 week into December and I am like, whew. I feel like the months are going by way too fast. I'm going to be honest. I can't even feel like I even can maintain, keep up. I'm getting whiplash here. Everything is going by so crazy. Last week I asked a question for everybody of, you know, what is something special for you that keeps you, you know, in your self-love or helps you along with your journey and things like that. And I thought it was so wonderful. So the question was, what self-love practices have you found, you know, most helpful in your journey? Sorry, my brain is on a fog. And so many wrote in, and I want to pull out the most ones that stand out to me that help me as well. And it's holding yourself accountable. That was number one. And I totally understand that, because if you're not accountable for your own actions, how could you possibly start owning up to the things you need to work on in your growth journey, pretty much is what they were saying, which I think a lot of us need to think about more, is how do we hold ourselves accountable without playing, you know, you don't want to play the victim in your own growth journey. You don't want people to think you're victimizing yourself in a way that's not benefiting you. There is a moment to victimize yourself in your growth journey, going, wow, I am struggling with this. I am struggling with this. Now what do I do to work on it? So being accountable for those actions and how you move forward on those to not keep repeating the same pattern is huge. Of course, there was a lot of people who say journaling has been huge for them. Self-talk, watching the way we talk to ourselves. And when you start to notice the pattern in your mind going negatively, we flip it back around. No matter how our feelings are in that moment, the self-talk is huge on your worst days. So exercise, a lot of people say they go for short walks daily lately. I think that's a huge one too. Short walks are a big one. For me, even as well, I like just wandering around outside, wherever I can, really, wherever you're able to get a little bit of fresh air and movement. You know, that stagnant body doesn't get nobody anywhere. Positive affirmations, and what's this? Oh, realizing how to shut your brain down during mindfulness. Oh, okay, so that is a big one for me. I'm learning to have to do that one as well. Ever since I opened my store, I feel like my brain doesn't shut down. I feel like I'm constantly thinking of past, present, future, how to not repeat the past, where am I at right now in the present? What do I need to plan for in the future? Seasons, holidays, sales, you know, I'm constantly on. I almost just feel like movement. I feel like I have to be 10 steps ahead of every single person around me to make sure that my store is prepared and to make sure I'm prepared. And oh my gosh, there's a holiday next week. Why haven't I been prepping leading up to this holiday? Things like that. So I totally get that with my mindfulness lately. I've been constantly reminding myself that, like, hey, Sarah, you're not supposed to be thinking in this moment. You're kind of supposed to be quiet in the present right now. So realizing that you do need to shut your brain down, because so many of us think just being quiet and breathing and talking our way through our mindfulness is what it is. And sometimes it's learning how to control shutting down your mind because that is when it becomes most helpful in your anxiety-ridden moments. And I think that's really important. So those were the main ones. I think that's very special. And, you know, before I go today, I don't want to forget, I will have an episode. So this week, which of course will be the 7th, I'll have an episode on the 14th and the 21st. And then I will be gone until January 11th. January 11th, I will release a new episode. So I will have my 2 weeks off. And on my 3rd week, I will be releasing an episode. So I won't be back until January 11th. My last episode will be recorded and released on the 21st. So I hope that made sense to you. I have it in my little notebook and I'm like, don't forget, because I seem to do that a lot. I seem to not look too far ahead, which is what I preach to you, but also not very business savvy of me as well. So we have to remember what we have to look ahead on, I guess, right? So today's episode is navigating the holidays. And as we're coming up on it, I want to dive into all these questions on managing stress, anxiety, depression during this, you know, what's supposed to be this beautiful festive season. So my week has been crazy and chaotic. The end of the month, so let's say December 1st, the first of the month, so the end of my last month, they're always crazy. It's crazy with, you know, getting my numbers together, getting everything ready, preparing for holidays. Anything with holidays this year has been chaotic for me as my first year open in business. It's been a lot of learning. I'm learning so much. I'm learning what I need to do. I'm learning how many steps ahead I need to be. And I'm really proud of myself, but also I feel, because I am kind of a perfectionist, which I'm working on, I don't want to miss anything. So me taking in turn, not missing anything, I get a little nervous that I might burn out. So I've been really watching my break times. I have to make sure that I'm allowing that time for myself, for my family, that I don't have to be 20 steps ahead, that I can only be 10 steps ahead. And hey, like, yeah, you recorded 30 videos today and took 5,000 photos and, you know, entered in every piece of inventory, weighed it all, blah, 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 blah. You did it all in one day. Great job, Sarah. But now you can't function at the dinner table because you're all jittery and anxious because you worked yourself to death today. So I really, I've been working on that with myself. Everybody tells you the first year to 3 years in business is the hardest. And I wouldn't say hard. I'm saying so much learning. I'm learning so much that I didn't realize I had to. And I think that's really exciting when you get to learn something you're really passionate about. So my excitement is there, but also the holidays it can be stressful. So that's what I'm learning. And like the last person said, which is during the mindfulness, you know, shutting it down. This month, I have recorded several episodes to release prior, and I keep redoing the episodes. I've noticed my last 3 times I've re-recorded way too close to my release days of the week to try and get it out there, because I'll re-listen to it and I'll go, you know, I don't feel like it's helpful enough. And I'm trying to catch myself going, just because I've maybe done it or I'm doing it doesn't mean that others are, and my advice is helpful, because I really just want to be so helpful this time of year, because holidays are the hardest for everybody. So I did. I pulled up all of our holiday questions. I did a specific search for those this week, and I'm trying to stay on point with where we're at in our journeys together. That is the most common asked things. So here we are. We have some people who did not stay anonymous, and I so appreciate you telling me who you are and where you're from and how far along in your journey you are. I think that's so neat, and I'm really glad that I asked that last week to let me know where you are in your journey and where you're from. And I think that's really cool, because I get to see just how far loving yourself completely is going and what we're doing. I picked this as my first question because we share a name, and I think that's really cool and it stuck out to me. So Sarah in New York, I am so thankful for you writing in. So hi there, I always feel overwhelmed during the holidays. Any tips on how I can manage stress and still enjoy this wonderful season? So I think that I love that question, because I think that's a really common one. So hello, Sarah. Hi. So one effective strategy that I myself work on as well is setting realistic expectations. It's okay to not do everything. What is realistic to you may not be realistic to others. So we have to remember that. And as my son's fourth grade teacher says, we're not allowed to say easy. And I find myself, my son calls me out on all the time. He's like, you can't say easy because what's easy for you might not be easy for me. And I think that's really cool that his teacher does that because it's so true. So maybe it's easy for me to, you know, do A, B, C, and D, but for you, your easy is just doing A, and that's okay. So you have to set those realistic expectations and prioritize what truly matters to you. And don't hesitate to delegate those tasks and ask for help. Asking for help from people around you or handing out tasks to them that maybe they're more than capable of getting done is huge. Even with my husband and my son this year, I asked for a lot of help doing a lot of the holiday stuff. My husband has never really been so much a part of the gift part. You know, like I think moms just, we just have it. We have it in us. And if you're married or you're single, I don't know your status, but I am married and we've been together going on 12 years. So every single Christmas, it's been very easy for me to take care of that stuff. But now running the business and doing my podcast and still trying to maintain a household and my son and being the primary parent because I do run my stuff out of my home has become a lot. So what was it the other weekend? We woke up in the morning, my son wasn't awake and I was kind of chatting with my husband. I was like, hey, like for Christmas, I've not even started. Usually I'm done by the beginning of November, but that wasn't realistic to me this year because of my stuff I had going on. And he's like, yeah, for sure. So what does he do? He hops on his phone. He makes the lists. I make the list. Like we both are in this together. And I felt just that weight of relief where maybe I wouldn't have asked for that before. So I think that's huge in asking for help on that aspect. Managing your stress around this time of year almost seems close to impossible because it's like everywhere you look, something's being pushed on you to be done, to do well, to be look perfect, to do things perfect. And you know what? Do your version of perfect. Do your version of that. Even this past year, I was kind of sad our fall. I felt like it was like cut short because it snowed on Halloween and all my colorful leaves died in like a week. I know it sounds silly, but I love doing fall photos. And that's usually when we do our photos is in the fall because it is so beautiful and I love the fall colors and things like that. But because our leaves died, I kind of like got a little sad. I'm like, oh my gosh, we don't have a photo even for our Christmas cards. And I send out, you know, the picture Christmas cards every year. And it just so happened that when I noticed that, I knew it was going to snow that night. And I'm like, no way. How perfect would that be if we got enough snow and we could take pictures? And I didn't schedule anything with anybody. I grabbed my phone. I grabbed my, you know, tripod I use for my boutique photos. And I literally was like, got up in the morning, seen that we had snow, and I told my family, I'm like, we're taking some photos today, you guys, because it looks beautiful out, and put on your nicest outfit. I don't care if we match. I don't care, you know, if you don't have fresh haircuts. I don't care. Like, let's do a family photo. And that was my perfect. That was my version of perfect. And I was so proud of these photos. I got a beautiful photo for our family card, and it was something so simple. It didn't cost me any money. I just took my photos, my way, and my positions, and in my time frame. So I felt good about that. So it's what you can manage. Manage your stress your way and allow other people to do their things their way. You don't have to keep up with the Joneses, you know? So I love that. Okay, now we have Alex. Alex, you struggle with anxiety during family gatherings. Any tip on navigating those moments? So I've noticed a lot of my questions are struggling with family, struggling with in-laws, struggling with co-parenting. And I think that that is so common. And it's hard because a lot of you, you know, are still in that stage that you are still going, that you are still maintaining that. And that is difficult. So this will be, I think, my second year not going to my family gatherings with my siblings, and it is hard. Oh my gosh, it's so hard. Are you serious? But you have to do what's best for you. And if you're in a situation where you go still, you can try doing deep breathing exercises. That's really helpful, especially on the drive there if you're struggling or you don't feel well or you start getting anxiety, feeling overwhelmed. It's a simple yet so powerful way to ground yourself. You know, four in, hold for four, four out, do that on a repetitive motion, you know, 4 to 5 times. Also, consider taking short breaks to regroup and recharge. Maybe you just go outside for a second or go to the bathroom for a moment and just take those short moments to yourself. That's a really big one because I think so many of us feel so much pressure to be perfect around people that maybe we don't get along with or feel are judging us. I go to my in-laws still, and I do. I love them so much. And everybody, I feel like, has their own little family things. What I love so much about my in-laws is it's almost like if it happens, okay, but it's solved so quickly that it's like, okay, see you at Christmas. You know what I mean? To where I know so many families, they hold on to things or it breaks out in screaming matches at the dinner table or you're yelling or cussing and it becomes such a toxic place. It's hard. It is hard to delegate that. So also I want you to practice mindful silence. And I want to get more into that in a different episode. But it's intentional silence and allowing your feelings to settle before expressing them verbally is really big, especially if you have maybe a combative family member or situation or friend even. So many people were writing in that there's always arguments at family things. So being selective in what you need to express in a conversation, make sure that it's positive to your well-being. I don't care how they're expressing themselves. They can make a fool out of themselves. Make sure that you're expressing what your growth is. Pause and reflect before you even convey any kind of message that you are trying to do and seeking that peace for the whole thing. Seeking clarity when you're uncertain, you know, this all promotes an understanding and reduces, you know, those reactive responses, we like to call them, just being way too reactive to in the moment responses. It's a hard one because so many times we all struggle with being combative of wanting to win. So many people just want to win the argument, and that's not the point. We're supposed to win together. We're supposed to understand each other. Agree to disagree, okay, but making your opinion a fact, not okay. So really understand that family gatherings can be stressful for so many. And you choosing to go is you still holding on to that hope that maybe your family is willing to be open with you and win together. And I think that's really exciting that you still have that chance. So go in with an open mind, a positive mindset. Do your deep breathing on the way there. And just stay positive. Just stay hopeful for that. There is still hope. There is still time. And if you're still at the point where you're still going, you're doing great. You're doing great. You haven't given up that hope yet. They haven't lost you completely. And I think that's really exciting. So, okay, next one is anonymous. How can I balance the holiday obligations without feeling burnt out? And that's a huge one because just like Sarah, managing, you know, stress and still trying to enjoy the season is huge. But trying not to feel burnt out is just like I said with, you know, my business boutique stuff this time of year. It's like almost like one on top of the other on top of the other. I had, you know, it was like Pink Friday, Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Thanksgiving, Christmas sales, 12 days of Christmas. Am I doing 12 days of Christmas? And then I'll make Christmas card, Christmas shopping, my son's birthday party, my husband's birthday. And I feel this question deep into my core. Okay. I really feel this question. It's an excellent question. And just like so many things, I feel like time management is key. I'm a big one for writing things down, as you know, organizing, planning ahead, scheduling breaks for self-care. I really feel that so many of us put off self-care. We go, if I get this done, once I do this, when this day is over, when this moment is over, when this week is over, I'm going to go get my nails done. I'm going to go to the spa, or I'm going to do self-care at home. I'm going to paint my nails at home. I'm going to do my hair. I'm going to get it colored. I'm going to do it now. Do the breaks, do the things. Remember, it's okay to say no to certain invitations and commitments. That's okay. You can skip those things and you can do a self-care day. Prioritize your well-being because that's what's going to save you from that burnout feeling. Those obligations that you say are only obligations if you can manage them, because if you can't manage them, there's no more obligations. You know what I mean? And then none of it gets done. I think that's really important to realize that so many things won't get done if you're not taking care of yourself. Or they're not going to get done well. You're going to look back and be like, oh, I should have did that differently, because you didn't have that clarity that you needed to make sure it all got done. I find myself doing that as well. I'm like, okay, so here I am. I have to do all these things today. And what was it the other day? My niece had called me and she's like, she had wanted to come over, but I missed her call. So she stayed home and I ended up going over there. But in my mind, while I was in town doing, you know, I had to take all my packages in and I had to stop at the store and all this stuff. And I was like, you know what if I just come to you? And of course, like, if you know me, my niece is like my everything. So I'm like, I was so excited that she had a moment, because she's always so busy, just like me. And she had a moment for me. And I was like, you know what? I dropped everything. I'm like, I'm going. Like, I'm just going to sit there, even if it's for 30 to 45 minutes. Like, I don't care what I have to set aside. But it refreshed my body. It refreshed me to talk to her, to see her dog, to like do all the little things she had decorated for Christmas. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it just took me out of my zone that I'm so programmed in during the week. I think I have to do all these things and have all this stuff done by time my husband gets home, by time my son gets home, that I kind of forget the outside world exists. My home is my office. My home is my home. My home is my family life. It is my everything. So all these walls surrounding me all day. And when I go outside, I'm like, oh, there's like a whole world out here. So I have to remember my obligations, that even though I started all these things on my own and I'm maintaining them on my own right now, I am still allowed to do self-care moments. I'm still allowed to visit with my loved ones. I'm still allowed to have days off. And I too myself am learning that, because we don't want to go into that burnout mode. Burnout mode is shutting down. Nothing gets done. You gave up. It's over. Your self-doubt, your anxiety, your depression. And guess what? Once you're depressed and you're anxious, none of the things get done. You build up on that disappointment in yourself. Self-sabotage sets in and we're reverting back to where we never want to be again. So that's my domino effect. And that's something we all want to steer clear on. Okay. All right, Mark in Illinois. Hello, you're very close to me. We're like neighbors. Okay, so I often find myself overspending during the holidays. It leads me up to financial stress. Any tips on managing and budgeting during this tough season and tough year? Boop. Nope. Oh my gosh, no. Actually, I have nothing for you. This year, what a freaking hot mess, right? I've been given 11 months to save and here's $5. So I feel like this year is the hardest to save, and it's been crazy. I've always been a saver my whole life. I mean, I'm one of those people that I'm like, okay, have five accounts. You 30% here, 30% here, 20% here. Even my business accounts. Okay, 30 for taxes, 30 for, you know, re-inventory, 20 for me, 20 for, yeah, blah, 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 blah. So anyways, but this year it's been really hard. And sometimes crunching those numbers a little bit, taking out those small things. I'm all for taking out the small things. Do you have Hulu and Netflix? Maybe you just need one. Do you have an unlimited phone plan? Do you use it all? Maybe you just need half of it. Like, I'm all for calling companies, getting discounts, getting new customer enrollment, getting blah, blah, blah. So managing and budgeting is so crucial, because I feel like so many of us have cut down our expenses this year to make sure that if an emergency happens, we are still able to have those savings. Or even if you're not able to, that you're just doing what needs to be done, because this time of year is so stressful and hard. But it's crucial. It is crucial to have a budget, especially making that budget before the holiday season starts, making sure that you make a list of necessary expenses. Necessary. I have people that tell me it's necessary to get their nails done. No, it is not. You know, like, necessary, and prioritizing those things, okay? Coffee every morning is not necessary. Consider creative ways to cut that spending in half. And And I know people are like, oh, my $5 coffee doesn't make a difference. But it makes those small differences to where, guess what? That's $20 towards your necessary phone bill. You know what I mean? Or $20 towards those stocking stuffers. Making those necessary cuts. No, it's not going to buy you a house, but maybe it might buy that small gift that you really want to get for that special person this time of year. That really is my tip for, I'd say, starting October through November, cutting those small expenses. You know, even if you cut Hulu or Netflix, that's $15 a month. Okay, so for 2 to 3 months, you cut that, that's $45. All right, here's a gift card, $25 a piece for my two favorite people. Here's your Starbucks. My coffee couldn't be this month, but yours can be next month. Here's a gift card. Those small things are huge. I'm really big for sales. I saved a lot of my purchasing for Black Friday and Cyber Monday and the Pink Friday sales. I did a lot of my small business shopping then. I think it's really huge to tackle these opportunities if you are in the place in your life where you want to buy gifts for people or you're able to buy gifts, and cutting small corners make for big things. Because really, what is a gift that you're spending? You know, most of us like $25 to $30 for friends, loved ones, coworkers, secret Santas, things like that. So making those small changes can be big. But also consider being creative and doing meaningful gifts rather than those expensive ones. You know what I mean? So do the meaningful stuff for other people. If you know somebody who really likes a certain thing, see if you can make it with them, or do a gift card and be like, we're going to go together. We're going to find this day to go together. Make it a little more meaningful. I know so many people are like, I hate doing gift cards. Gift cards this year especially are huge. I even told my loved ones, I'm like, gift cards for Ulta. That's where I get my shampoo and my conditioner. Gift cards for the gas station because, oh my gosh, I have a freaking V8 and I'm going through gas like I drink water, which is a lot. So those kind of meaningful things. Let's stop doing material things that, you know, people, yeah, they might have wanted, but it's not a need. Do needs. Hey, you want me to pay your freaking or your Netflix bill for the next 6 months? Got it. Like, do meaningful ones this year and be in the moment with what you feel people need. Do grocery gift cards. Do you know the jumps of joy that would come out of my body if I got an Aldi gift card? Are you kidding me right now? Are you kidding me right now? Like, that is, those are the things that are so huge in your life that nobody really realizes at the moment. You know what I mean? So it's all about being thoughtful this time of year. And even if it's not money gifts, do time. Spend time with these people. Do even just, hey, I would love to go to the movies this year. I seen this new movie is coming out and let's make a day to go together. It's on me. And I guess I say that with remembering that movies used to be cheaper than they are now. Even just coming, hey, come to my house. This new movie's coming out. I'm buying it. It's, you know, brand new movies on the TV are like $20. I'm buying it. Come over. We're doing snacks. We're doing candies. We're doing self-care night. I bought face masks for your besties, you know? Oh my God, I said besties like I'm on TikTok. Let's not do the hashtags right now, Sarah. I know that was a long rant, but that was one of my really big questions this year is budgeting right now, and it's so hard. So don't feel that guilt. Do not feel that guilt. Give the experiences, give the smaller gifts this year. You don't need to be spending, you know, hundreds of dollars on people who know your heart, who know who you are. Okay? I know exactly what that's like, and I think everybody does, because you want to give your loved ones the world. But you just being there is their world, most likely. Okay, Lisa. Ooh, Lisa in Colorado. Okay, the pressure to be cheerful. Hello, the pressure to be cheerful during the holidays. It has me very overwhelmed. How can I handle social expectations still being true to myself? Do you want to be the Grinch, Lisa? Is that who your true self is? That's my question. That was a joke because I feel that. I feel like so many of us feel that pressure. And it's a thoughtful question because you want to be true to yourself while also communicating your needs and your boundaries. So I think that it is essential to set those boundaries and communicate that openly. Let those around you know if you need some alone time, or if certain topics or conversations are off limit. You know, you guys, I can't even read my own writing. If certain topics are off limits. Being authentic is key in maintaining your mental well-being at gatherings. So it's really important that you know, boundaries, they're not meant to be, like I said, these mean gates of hell that people are like, oh my God, don't touch the gates. You'll get shocked and they'll light on fire. No, they're meant to be these kind gestures going, hey, like in order for me to just love you so much and you love me back, this is the communication and the things I need from you and that I allow from myself to you to keep us both happy. And everybody should have them. Two people going together that both have boundaries, that's a match made in heaven. These are my boundaries. This is how I will and won't be treated. These are the things I will and won't put up with. And as long as we can respect that and understand that we're going to have moments where we agree to disagree, but here's how I will and won't be spoken to. How exciting is that to know that you're in a safe place with somebody that respects that? That you know that even if you guys have a disagreement, that they're going to be respectful in that disagreement. How exciting is that? Because I think we've all come from places or dealt with people who haven't been respectful of that. And even ourselves, we've disrespected our own boundaries by maybe acting out of character in ways we wish we didn't because we let somebody get a rise out of us. That's the test. That's the test of it all. Okay, so really remember that when you're handling these social expectations, as you call it, and the pressure to be cheerful, don't do something that isn't real to you. You don't have to always be this exciting, fresh, fun person. I had a day yesterday. Man, my mood yesterday was shit. And somebody cut me off in traffic. And if he would have had his window down, I probably would have yelled. No, I'm just joking. I wouldn't have because I would have been terrified for my life. But I was thinking these nasty little thoughts in my head that I think all of us have had. And I was like, you know what? He could have had a bad morning too. He could have not been paying attention. Maybe he got a life-altering text. Let me put it that way so I don't curse you out 5,000 times in my brain right now. So remember that other people are struggling as well to be cheerful, and maybe you being real and authentic creates their safe space within you. That's what I think is really exciting about being authentic, is if you become a safe haven for people who maybe never had one before. Okay, next one. No name, but from Arizona. The end of the year always brings reflections on the past. How can I manage feelings of nostalgia and potential sadness? I read this question and I wrote out my answer, and now I'm seeing it differently because I guess, so I don't know your age, of course, but I totally get that. So I follow a nostalgia page on Facebook, right? And a lot of times I'll see little nostalgic things that will remind me of my childhood, or especially this time of year, I'm seeing it of the holidays or even gifts I got as a kid. And I totally can get how it can bring a sadness. I get that. I get it in a different way now. But embracing nostalgia, that's natural. Every person remembers things a certain way, differently. But it's crucial to focus on the present as well. I would say bring yourself back to the reality of where you're at and understand that you can create new nostalgia, you know, new traditions, or find joy in revisiting those memories in a positive way. Remembering things in a positive manner is actually a skill a lot of people don't have. A lot of people only remember negativity. So you being able to embrace this happiness of what you were able to experience in your life, I'd be so thankful to have that. That's such a cool thing to be able to say you have. Create these new traditions. And if feelings of sadness persist, of course, don't hesitate to reach out for support. But the holidays can be challenging, you know, and it is okay to ask for help. But try to flip that feeling of, oh, I feel sad that I no longer have that, or it no longer exists, or it's no longer here, etc. Try to flip that and say, I'm so happy I got to experience that. I'm so glad that was a part of my life. I actually wish so many others got to experience that. And if I ever get the chance, I'm going to express my gratitude and my excitement that I did get to have that to anybody who is with me in that moment when it comes up. I can't wait to tell people about that. so many times that I was talking about, what was it? Oh, there was, so in my nostalgia page the other day, it was a, I don't know if you remember, gosh, I'm going to have to look it up. It was like a little critters thing. I'm talking too fast today. Sorry, my tongue twister moments. Like a little critter creative thing. So you had these little prongs. It was like shaped like a U, and then it had a handle, and you put these little molds on them, and you put the goo or whatever in there, and then you stuck it in like an oven, right? And it created these little creepy critters. I'm going to have to look up what it was called, but maybe I'll post it on our Instagram page. Okay. Go to Loving Yourself Completely's Instagram page. I'm going to share a picture because I shared it on my Facebook. I'm going to find it. Anyways, so it was these little critters that you made and then you pulled them out of the mold. Anyways, that was very nostalgic for me. And I got so excited when I see this. When I tell you how excited, I completely didn't realize these existed. Like, I forgot all about them. Anyways, I remember my brother had one because, I mean, I was a girl. I did not have all the creepy stuff. I had an easy bake oven, right? So I was so excited to see this, and I brought back all these memories of playing with my brother, of making these creepy crawlers, of me finding them all over the house or breaking them or pulling their little legs off. And it was so funny thinking back on it, because how cool was that, that I got to experience that, and that I remembered that with my siblings and how much joy we used to have. And we have you heard the news? Spotify has amazing new ways to listen to your favorite music and podcasts. Be sure to turn on notifications to Loving Yourself Completely to never miss an episode. Download Spotify today for free. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I got cut short. My entire computer system shut down. I don't know what happened. I'm so glad that I found the episode. I thought I lost it. Anyway, so experiencing nostalgia pretty much, I'm going to wrap this one back up, but experiencing that, it can bring back that bittersweet moment. That's nostalgia. That's what it is. It's remembering these exciting moments and that joy that you had. And maybe, you know, as an adult, you haven't experienced that joy in a long time, or you're just really struggling, or those people aren't with you anymore, or that item isn't with you, and you just remember these moments that maybe you don't have anymore, and it can be a struggle. But if you're able to recall such special, joyful memories, flip the script on what your mind has made it in that sadness, and really understand that it doesn't have to be sad. And that if it continues to be sad, it is okay to ask for help. Prioritize your well-being and reach out for support as needed, of course. But really make sure that, put those moments in a special place. We always talk about having a special place in your mind and allowing yourself to have those boxes that are in the corner, that you have this excitement, joy, or maybe those fears and anxieties, that they all have a place. And nostalgia can be such an exciting place to tap into, to tell stories, to recreate moments and memories or toys for your children, remembering when you had them. And you can bring back that happiness and nostalgia. And maybe it's not a toy. Maybe it's Christmas decorations or things like that. When we have a beach here that decorates every year, Christmas lights, right? And we drove around last weekend because they light them up on the first. So last weekend they were all ready. And I remember driving through as a kid as well. And I remember there's this one where this frog, it jumps and it's like kind of animatronic, it moves. So it like jumps over and it lands in a puddle and splashes. And I don't know why that was my favorite Christmas light. But as a kid, I remember that was my favorite one out of all these lights on this entire beach. That was it. That was my one that I wanted to see every year. And seeing it there every year as an adult in her 30s and with my 10-year-old in the backseat, I'm like, there's my favorite. Like, I still get that excitement and joy, but it flashes me back to me being in the backseat of my mom's car and me looking at those lights and that one being my most joyful. So we can all tap into these moments, these memories, but express them in a sharing way. Share them with somebody. Share that nostalgia. Don't share the sadness, because when you tie a memory of happiness to a sadness, your brain might get a little confused. And that's when those moments of depression can creep in. So try to do that. I advise you to try to tie the happiness and say, I'm just thankful that I got to experience that. I'm not saying like, don't be sad. I'm just saying like, try to take that sadness and redirect it. Redirect its attention to something other than a happy memory. You want it to remain a happy memory. Okay, we got a couple more. I know these are a lot of questions today, but I really wanted to tackle all these holiday ones. I often feel pressured to attend multiple parties and events. How can I balance social commitments? Oh, social commitments without feeling overwhelmed. Sorry, I went to my next page. That is Jessica in Michigan. Hello, Jessica in Michigan. Okay, the key here is communication and setting those realistic boundaries. I'm going to say that over and over again because I feel like a lot of these questions can get the same answer. Prioritize your events that align with your values and bring you that genuine joy. Don't do people-pleasing. But people-pleasing, no thank you. We're out of that. We're out of that part of our journey here. Politely decline invitations when necessary and don't be afraid to communicate your limits. Tell people your limits. Tell your family and friends your lemonade. My gosh, you guys. Okay, tell them your limits. Quality over quantity is the mantra when it comes to holiday seasons and engagements. If you do have to go to all of those, delegate your time. Try to be as present as possible, but also don't overstay your energy. If you got to go after 30 minutes to an hour, then go after 30 minutes to an hour. Don't feel like you have to attend every invitation. You know how many invitations I get throughout the year? If it's not aligning with me, it's not aligning with me, and people understand, and there's no hurt feelings, and unless you have a huge need to be there and you don't want to miss it or whatnot, then don't. It's okay. It's not rude. It's not disrespectful. I don't know when that became a thing that not going to events is rude and disrespectful. Thank you so much for inviting me. I appreciate this invitation. Please invite me every single time. But also, it's okay that you decline sometimes. It's okay. People get so hurt and offended over somebody not showing up to an invited invitation. And that's just not even necessary. Wherever that came from can get rid of it because you were prioritizing your time, your well-being, your family moments, your holiday season that you don't have to give to anybody else. So remember that. Okay, I'm going to be talking a little quicker because I didn't realize how many questions I had. Okay, we have from Ohio No Name. The holiday season amplifies my feelings of grief. I'm so sorry as I was like reading this fast. How can I navigate through this time while honoring the memories of my loved ones who are no longer with me? That is a heartfelt question because I feel like every single one of us can relate to this. Every single one of us has lost somebody important to us, and holiday seasons can amplify that. My favorite man ever, my grandpa, he passed away on Christmas, and I remember it was such a hard time. We watched him in hospice for a little bit go through this journey and things like that. And he was a very special man to all of us. So watching him go through something hard was just gut-wrenching for all of us. But that holiday now, Christmas, reminds us every year that's kind of just tied with it. So it's hard, but it's crucial to acknowledge and honor your feelings. Consider creating maybe a meaningful tribute or ritual to celebrate the memory of your loved ones, you know? For me, so it's kind of silly, but when I received the message that my grandfather passed away because I wasn't there at the time, I wasn't aware of what was happening. That's a long story, but I still have the message that came in late. I don't think I was supposed to be there. Anyways, I just opened a gift and it was a coffee mug. And even though some people were like, doesn't that remind you that he had passed away at that moment? I'm like, no, every time I look at this mug, I think of my grandpa. I just think of him. And that's it. And same with when I look at the Christmas lights. My last time I did get to see him, so we had just seen the Christmas lights at the beach I was just telling you about, right? And we were in town, and that's where he was at the hospital. And I swung by late at night and was able to speak to him one last time. He wasn't really vocal, but I was able to say what I wanted to say and do my things. And that's the memories I got to cherish. So when you're experiencing grief, try to tie something to that happiness around the holiday season, whether you buy them an ornament in their memory, or you have a, like I said, their coffee mug in their memory, things like that. Creating a meaningful thing for yourself is such a good soul feeling. Surround yourself with people who are supportive, of course, and understand the complexity of these emotions, because losing a close one around and experiencing the holiday seasons is really hard. I always say to journal and seek grief counseling or join a support group that can help you with, you know, different versions of healing during this time. But if you're not somebody who wants to do those things, do something small and personal for yourself. Do those small personal moments. Even, you know, visiting their grave and taking them something Christmassy and special or holiday style special, or cleaning the leaves off from around it. I don't know. Doing something that feels personal to you that ties you with that person can somehow make it feel a little less lonely and more so feel like their presence is around you. So find those small things and really do those, okay? Because it's extremely hard. And I know with grief, and I have so many people writing in of, you know, the ending of the relationships, going through their first holiday out of, you know, a marriage and separation and things like that. And allowing yourself time to grieve people, even like I said, with not going to family gatherings, it's all a grief in a sense. It's all a grief of loss. It's all people we loved so much with all our hearts at one point in time, and now they're no longer with us. They're no longer around us. We no longer are tied to them, and we feel this emptiness. Seek that. Feel that. Don't avoid those feelings, because your body is going to guide you on how to get through it, on how to work through it. Like I said, even my stuff, people might think it's weird that I associate, you know, my grandfather with this coffee mug, but it was at that moment, my heart. That's what tied me to him, I felt. And I'm like, this is it. This is me. This is my love for him, is this coffee mug. And he loved coffee, and it was a whole thing for me. But even pizza, he loved pizza. So when I cook a pizza, I'm like, okay, this ties me to him in a weird sense. Find those things for you, okay? All right, our final question of the day comes from Amanda in Texas. Okay. Balancing work and personal life during the holidays is a huge struggle for me. How can I manage my professional responsibilities while still enjoying the holiday season? Okay, so that is an important question. I totally understand that. But between work and personal time, prioritizing those tasks and setting boundaries, make sure you delegate when possible. Communicate your availability with your colleagues and make sure that you're still able to keep a regular schedule for yourself. Like I said, add in those small little breaks. Allow yourself moments to recharge. Establish a healthy work-life balance. That's crucial for your overall well-being for the holiday season, whether it's parties, work, etc. And it's huge. Even myself, I'm trying to maintain that. Here I am telling you guys that I'm not going to have an episode for 2 weeks. I know I'm going to still be boutiquing my little booty off those whole 2 weeks. Like, I'm still going to have to be working. I just have to cut out small things because my son's home. And so I know that me recording and editing these episodes for hours and hours upon these weeks that my son's home is almost impossible. So that's the one I cut, you know? So, but I know I'm still going to be working myself. And it is hard because you're trying to make sure that your overall well-being is taken care of while trying to make sure your work is taken care of, working these long hours. Let's all be honest. We're working our little hind ends off for the holiday season and still trying to go to gatherings and be festive and decorate cookies and put up your Christmas tree and take family pictures and make sure we have time for shopping and make sure we have the money and the budgeting and what am I cutting and can I eat this week? Where am I getting gas money from? Like, we are all in the same place, rowing the same boat, maybe in different waves, but we're all understanding. We can all understand that, you know? For the conclusion of this whole thing, navigating the holidays, I just hope that these answers can provide everybody with something, you know? It's just managing the season. It's just a season. This is just a season. Having your loved ones, or even if you've lost your loved ones, just finding the right emotions to tie in instead of the stressful ones is what we're looking for, right? We're looking for the love. We're looking for the happy nostalgia. We're looking for things to tie our lost ones in. We're looking for ways to prioritize our own self-care and well-being. But instead, what takes over? The stress, the anxiety, the depression, the loss, the fear, the, you know, all these negative emotions. So what we're trying to do is, for every negative emotion, find its opposite, find its positive, okay? Because just like an electric circuit board, here we are. Where are negatives and our positives? Where are the ones that are going to hurt us? Where are the ones that are going to spark us up and let us shine? Like, what are we going to do if this is all we have? So if this is what we're feeling in these moments, all right, this is what we're feeling. So I'm going to make the best of them. And that's what we're going to do. I hope these answers just really help you. I hope you're able to manage this holiday season. Remember, it is okay to prioritize and make top of your list your well-being. Make those choices that align with your need so that you can enjoy the holiday season. You know, everybody's talking so much about the holiday season and festive activities and Christmas and, you know, making sure that you're able to have this special balance. It is 100% possible to have that balance. The only thing that stands in your way are people pleasing, are unclear boundaries, feelings of guilt. Take those things, all those voices in your head that aren't yours, get rid of them, do what aligns with your heart this holiday season, and you are entitled. That's what I'm going to say. You are entitled to enjoy your holiday season. Whether you're not able to do anything, drive around to see Christmas lights, I don't care. If you are in a financial bunch this year, fine. That's okay, because your loved ones just want you here. Find small moments. Hey, we're doing a movie night tonight. Please come on over. I got snacks. Do these little things. You don't have to do these massive things. This is such a different year for everybody. And so many people are saying, I'm used to doing A, B, C, and D, and I'm financially unable to this year. If the people in your life don't understand that, then they're not the right people in your life. Because if you have the ones around you that are interested in the financial gain from you, guess what? You just weeded out the bad seeds. So good for you. Okay. All right. I know that was like a little harsh, but we can do this. We can do this together. I promise you, this holiday season can be beautiful. It can be beautiful, and you should spend it with your loved ones and enjoy it. It's yours to enjoy. You've earned it. Mornings are already rough. So why not make it easier with Javi? J-A-V-Y. Javi coffee is dairy-free, sugar-free, gluten-free, plant-powered, non-GMO, and ethically sourced. Javi coffee is so simple. You take 1 to 2 teaspoons, pour it in hot or cold water, put in your favorite toppings or creamer, and you're on the go. No stops in the morning, no waiting in line, no getting that machine out that you don't even know if it's clean. Drink Javi coffee and get 20% off with Sarah, S-A-R-A 43934 today. Javi coffee will change your whole morning mood. Drink Javi today. And I think so much about what the holiday seasons have turned into. It's not so much of celebrating of what it is to its core. It's so much about what we're getting, what we're giving, what we have to do. And that's so exhausting. When did it become that? You know, it's such a crazy concept to me. It's such a crazy concept to me. And it makes my heart sad. But I mean, it's almost like believing in Santa. You know, you do it and you have to, because it's the common right thing to do, and you don't want to be the one who's left out in your family. So you're like, all right, let's do it. Here we go. So it's a lot. It is a lot. All right. This holiday season it seems like the most stressful one since I've started this podcast, of all my emails that I've received. So please continue to write in, and I'm going to try to get to as many as I possibly can. So many are struggling. You are not alone. This year has been extremely hard, and delegating the important things are huge. It's huge. And I know that so many of us are unable to do what we want to do, what we wish we could do, but taking that guilt off you, taking that burden off you, and realizing that it's just a season. This is just a season in your life. Don't let those negative emotions take over. Don't burden yourself with yourself. Don't feel that you aren't enough, and always reach out for help and support if needed. Write into lovingyourselfcompletely@gmail.com. Follow our Instagram page. I'm going to post that creepy crawler thing as soon as I finish recording this, before it's even released. I'm posting it. So just continue, okay? Move forward in loving yourself completely. We are all on this journey together, and share this episode with as many people as you think it could help. And I love you guys. So I'll talk to you next week. Have a wonderful day. Bye.